Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses,
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Friday night, a little chilly here at Scripps Ranch. At Scripps Ranch.
We are such wimps.
Yeah, I'm cold.
I am too.
I got my beanie. I'm ready to roll.
And Chris Ello.
I was going to say the six-legged turkey. I guess would that have been
no,
wrong?
No, that would have been wrong.
That would have been wrong?
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hour number one in the books. Tony Gwynn Jr., AJ Cassavell. Just chilling with you for three more hours. Have you guys seen this this Gridiron Heights?
No.
On Bleacher Report?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
So, you know, I think it was last year they did, it was like Game of Thrones. They used
Game of Zones.
Game of Zones is what it was. This year it's Gridiron Heights. It's basically a cartoon version of your NFL storylines of the week. They're doing MVP. It's hilarious. If you get a chance, check it out. It's kind of funny. We are currently awaiting the college football rankings to come out any moment here. I teased before the break talking a little bit about what Lamar Jackson did to the Rams last night. But one of the side storylines of last night was Marcus Peters came back to Los Angeles. He was only traded a few weeks ago. And by the way, since he's been traded to the Ravens, has been on absolute fire. I think he has two pick sixes, maybe four picks in six games, something like that, and has been well. So, you know, as we kind of have come to expect when guys go back to the place that they were traded from, especially in the game of football, there's usually a lot of emotion. Emotions are running high. And yesterday, Marcus Peters continued his, you know, his turnaround of his season, picked off his former quarterback, Jeff Goff. And then after the game, there was some words exchanged between him and Jalen Ramsey. Looked like Jalen Ramsey initiated now, and that's only from the camera angles that we got to see. And it pretty much persisted all the way till both guys went into their locker rooms. There was some high I don't want to say animosity. There was some. Oh my gosh, is that my phone going off like that? There were some high emotions going on last night. So ultimately.
Where is that coming from?
I think it's coming from my phone. I tried to ditch it. It's down on the ground somewhere.
It's a game of
But it's not on though. That's the funny part. Can you figure that out? Let me see that, AJ.
Oh yeah, I think he got it.
He got it. All right. Anyway,
speaking of Marcus Peters.
Marcus. But yeah, him and Jalen Ramsey got into it. Jalen Ramsey had to be kind of escorted all the way back to his locker room.
What is he doing? I mean, they just got crushed. Just go back to your locker room.
You know what I've noticed with Jalen is a lot of this tends to happen to him when his team is getting their butt kicked. He might be one of those guys that doesn't lose well.
He's a pouty guy.
I don't mind that.
I don't mind.
I want that out of my quarterbacks.
In a game of football, I definitely don't mind it, right? I don't know. In a game like baseball or basketball where you're playing so many games, that'll wear on a teammate after a while. But in football where you're only playing once a week, you kind of need that emotion to play that game anyway. I don't mind it either, but I'm just pointing out he seems like a guy who has an issue with losing. And if you're going to have a problem and there's going to be something that irritates you, I don't mind it being that.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. And I think if we're going to, like, I think Marcus Peters is well within his rights to be excited that he probably just knocked the Rams out of postseason contention.
He said
with
as
that
much
win
too.
In colorful language,
right?
Because I think football, probably more than any other sport, and every this is true to some extent in every sport, but the situation you're in and the coaching staff and the way you get used helps you
thrive
yeah. maybe more than other sports. I mean, in baseball, I mean, there are places where you can where you go and you play better. I mean, look, we've seen it with the top teams of this decade. The way the Astros, I mean, we won't get into some of the specifics of what they did, but I mean, they definitely have used data to their advantage. The Yankees have done so. The Dodgers have done so. And so in football, maybe more than anywhere else, the situation you're in is what dictates maybe how much you're asked to do,
yeah.
whether too much is getting put on your plate. And I think Marcus Peters went to Baltimore, where Baltimore's they have a system in place where I don't think anyone's asked to do too much.
You can plug a guy in and just say, do this thing right here.
And he's thriving there, yeah. and it's a testament to the Ravens coaching staff, but it's also maybe his way of saying, hey, look,
y'all was
yeah,
using me when
you guys,
I was here.
You guys let me go, and look what I'm capable of, and I'm fine with that, too.
And that's the thing, is as I said, I mean, at least the camera angle I saw, he wasn't really tripping about the Rams themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was actually, when the ruckus started, he was actually giving a hug to somebody on the Rams staff when Jalen Ramsey came by with his helmet on, and you could see him say something in his direction, and that set Marcus Peters off. And then he proceeded to let him know in the colorful language that AJ mentioned that, you know, y'all was out of the playoffs because of his work today. And when it boils down to the Rams, man, they're offensively, they just look different. They're just a different team.
What happened?
I don't know what it is. None of us, I think, can put our finger on exactly what it is. You know how many head coaches got hired because everybody thinks Sean McVay is like that's the next hottest thing?
The guy who,
and as you said, I wonder how do they feel about it now?
I mean, I think he still is a really good coach. It's just a matter of this might be the first. Like, he's been kind of knocked off his perch now, and he has to figure out what's wrong with the offense, put some things back in place. I don't doubt that he'll be able to do it when you look at the offense he created last season.
Is it as simple as just offensive line has been beat up?
Maybe. I mean, that's what they have to ask themselves this offseason, because they're going to go into the offseason in a very tough division with two teams that are – I mean, the Seahawks and the Niners probably aren't going anywhere, given that the Seahawks have one of the best quarterbacks in football, maybe the best quarterback in football, and the Niners' defense is what it is, and they've got a lot of good pieces in place on the offensive line and the run game, Jimmy G. Like, that's a tough division to say, all right, time to retool, when you have to go out there and essentially finish ahead of one or both of those teams if you want to make a playoff push.
Peters could be heard yelling, kicking the Rams, you know what, out of the playoffs.
He was really fired up.
He was fired up. Ramsey was quoted as, if you got any questions about the games, I'll answer that. Other than that, I ain't going to answer no BS, he says. So clearly he wasn't in the best of mood. What you got?
We could stall a little bit because they're announcing the teams right now. But I know Oregon lost to Arizona State over the weekend, and they were, I believe, number 6 in the CFP poll, the College Football Playoff poll. They fell to 14.
Yeah.
That's where they should fall. They lost to a team that wasn't very good, and that's what happens when you lose in November to a team that's not very good. They had every chance. I think Oregon was that number 4 team
if
they hadn't
out.
Lost.
Yep.
And they had it in their grasp and lost.
Well, now you as a you're a Big Ten guy. You're a Penn State
guy. I am.
Right now, at least the first two teams that have been named in this top 4, Ohio State at the top, LSU number 2. No surprises there.
Yeah, I think maybe the order is.
Who?
LSU, Ohio State over LSU.
You think that's a surprise? You're just telling me that they're the best team.
Ohio State's the best team in the country. I think the most complete team in the country, but I didn't know that the committee would have agreed with me.
Oh, you didn't think everybody else agreed with you. Okay, well, apparently everybody is, well, at least the committee is agreeing with you here. Ohio State, number 1, LSU, number 2. Who do you think should fall in 3 and 4?
It's going to be Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma
at 5 and 6.
Seven.
Oklahoma was 7?
Yes.
So that'll put Utah at 6?
It's got to be.
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
There it is, Clemson at number 3.
Clemson at number 3.
And we'll have to get to the other one after the break.
Well, you're telling me, so I guess that is
we can do that. I got some interesting thoughts on these teams ranked 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3, and whether those teams should still make it if they end up losing in one of these last two games of the season.
All right, we will take a break. We have Greg Camarillo when we return, so we won't quite be able to get back into the playoffs, but I promise we will have that conversation because I know AJ is itching to talk about it. By the way, Clemson was 3, Georgia at 4. We're going to take a break. When we return, as I said, Greg Camarillo to talk some more NFL when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Aye, aye. 419, Tony Gwynn Jr., AJ Cassavale, talking some NFL. Lamar Jackson with a huge night last night. Rams get throttled by the Baltimore Ravens. And our next guest can shed light, maybe can shed light, on what exactly is going on with the Los Angeles Rams. Greg Camarillo joins us, former NFL wideout. Greg, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
Good, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Well, you saw the show Lamar Jackson put on last night, and we have seen him. We've seen him take the NFL by storm. Would you say he is the best quarterback in the league right now?
Right now, yes, and I say that because he is the hardest to defend. It used to be Tom Brady because he could pick you apart left and right. He doesn't have the offensive weapons. He doesn't have the offensive line. Lamar Jackson is a headache for defenses because he learned and he improved his throwing. So he can throw the ball. That used to be an issue for him, not an issue anymore. But then you always have to have somebody fast watching him. So if you rush guys at him and leave a crease, he takes off. If you try to have a slow linebacker watching him, he takes off. And so you have to cover all grounds, and then you have to prepare every play for the option. So you always hear about these college teams like Army who run the triple option and how hard it is to prepare for that. You have to do that against Lamar Jackson. So you got to be sound in your pass coverage. You got to be sound in your rushing lanes, and then you always have to be ready for him to run the ball as well. And it's just a massive headache for defenses, as we saw last night.
Yeah, and it seems to me like it's the perfect storm for Baltimore because Lamar honed his passing perfectly to the point where he's a very good passer now, and the Ravens hone their offense really nicely to accommodate his rushing skills. So I guess my question from that is this just the year of Lamar, or do you see, like, as he gets into the playoffs, different teams maybe scheming differently to stop him? Where are we in terms of how stoppable Lamar Jackson is? Are the Ravens kind of the team you would put at the forefront of the AFC right now?
Absolutely. And it kind of reminds me of last year's Rams, where the only way to keep up with them was to try to outscore them. So we saw that the Monday Night Football game with the Rams last year, where it was 50-something to 50-something, and the only way to try to compete with the Rams was to try to score at them. You weren't going to stop them. And I think that's what we're getting from the Ravens this year is you're not going to stop that offense. You may limit them to 30 points, 35 points, but you're going to have to do something on your offensive side of the ball to try to keep up with them. It's just the good old-fashioned offensive shootout. But like you mentioned, the change, adapting to Lamar Jackson's style, that is coaching. That is outstanding coaching because they went from Joe Flacco, who is the opposite of Lamar Jackson, a pocket passer. He's not running around. He's not doing anything sexy. And then recrafted their offense through last year into this year, and have totally adapted their style to fit him. And you know, hats off to the coaching staff for being able to make that adjustment to allow Lamar Jackson to use all of his tools.
Yeah, Greg, we're really not hearing enough credit given to John Harbaugh and his staff for the turnaround they've been able to make. I got to ask you about the team on the other side of the ball, though. The Rams, you mentioned it. They were a team last year who, you're right, you could only hope to contain them. You weren't going to stop them completely. They were going to score their points. You just had to outscore them. I've seen now 3-4 weeks in a row this offense, really all season long, has been very inconsistent. The irony is it seems like Gurley has started to run the ball better the last few weeks, yet this offense seems to be lost. What have you seen that has been different on the Rams side, especially on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, they're lost, and they totally lost their swagger. They are not the Rams of last year and really have no offensive identity.
Right.
You know, last year they were a big play machine, both running and throwing. And, Tony, the difference is they lost some off-key offensive linemen. And then, you know, couldn't replace them, and then have also had injuries on the offensive line. So what used to be the foundation for this fast-paced offense, they just don't have that foundation anymore. So everything around it has started to collapse, and they spent a lot of money on Gurley, spent a lot of money on Goff, paid Brandon Cooks, and so they've got all these tools paid. But that offensive line foundation is just not there, and they can't get anything clicking. We see them, they went from trying to do all passing. They've got some solid receivers in Cooks and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, great trio of receivers. So we saw them try to rely heavily on that. They had two receivers hurt the last couple of weeks. They tried to go old school and just run the ball straight up the middle, and it was working a little bit, but they've lost their identity from last year's big play machine. And I contribute that to just the changes in the offensive line and the lack of that foundation.
I want to transition a little bit to a different team in the NFC, because the Rams lost to a really good team in the AFC, and they're 6-5, and they're pretty much out of the playoffs. The Cowboys lost to a really good team in the AFC, and they're 6-5, and they're first place in the NFC East, but I think it still seems like they might have some issues, maybe on the coaching front, maybe with getting the offense going as creatively as they would like it to be, because they obviously have some studs on offense. Where is this team headed? Because they might be playoff bound, but they just kind of seem like they haven't put it all together right now. What do you make of them?
Yeah, they haven't made taken that next step from being a good team to one of the best teams. And unfortunately, I won't, you always got to point the blame somewhere, and I got to put that blame on the coaching. There's, Jason Garrett has been Jerry Jones's guy for the last however many years, and they've always been a team that's good, make the playoffs, and then fall out early. And you don't see them taking that next step, and we saw that from the Patriots. And the biggest points as to how I know it's coaching or how I believe it's coaching, we saw the Patriots do something tricky on a punt. They just, instead of sending a receiver back to catch the ball because it was windy, it was bad conditions to catch the punt, they just abandoned trying to catch the punt and tried to block it. The Cowboys had no answer, right? So they took a delay a game.
That should be a basic thing, right?
A basic thing. Everyone should have a plan for that. When I see this, okay, we've got a plan. So they lost 20 yards trying to figure that out, had a terrible punt. And it's small things like that. So the Patriots gained another 20 yards of field position off just being smarter. And the same thing with the kickoff. They were doing these bloop kickoffs to the around the 10, 20-yard line because of weather conditions. And the Cowboys didn't move their returner forward. All coaching. I've been a returner. You go where the coach sends you. You're not going to just do it on your own. If the coach tells you to line up shorter, you line up shorter. So them not making those adjustments and costing them 20, 30 yards each time. So it's only two times, but then they lose by, 4 points, and then had a two-minute drive when they desperately needed those extra 30 yards and could have made a huge impact on the game. So the details aren't there. And granted, it's the Patriots who are the best at details, but that really pointed the blame at the coaching staff for the Cowboys, and I think that's what's got to change.
Wow, terrific insight. I don't think very many people think of, especially a close game, in terms of a lost 20 yards here, a lost 20 yards there, can make a huge difference, especially in a field management game that they were in on Sunday night. We didn't get you last week, Greg, so I didn't get to ask you about how you felt the whole Colin Kaepernick and his workout turned out. It was a huge story, really for the wrong reasons, it seemed like, last week. And it certainly seems like no teams have reached out to him at this point to sign. What did you think of the whole situation? It seemed fishy from the very beginning, and it seemed like the more time comes out, the more information comes out about it.
Yeah, it didn't smell right at all from the get-go for a few reasons. One, I've been a free agent, and clearly not at the caliber of Colin Kaepernick or the attention that Colin Kaepernick gets, but there's never been a league-wide free agent workout. If a team is interested in you, they bring you in, they work you out. So that was the first red flag, is why are they creating this league-wide workout when they've basically abandoned Colin Kaepernick for the first couple years? Okay, but, we can look past that. They're giving him an opportunity. Why are they doing it so fast? Right. So why does Colin Kaepernick have 2 hours to respond to this? And then why are they doing it on a Saturday, which is a huge preparation day in the NFL for anyone involved in an organization, or scouts that are going to college games, or pro scouts that are going to other pro games? Workouts are normally done on Tuesdays, which is the off day in the NFL, so people can be at those workouts and evaluated. So they gave him a short timeline. They told him it's going to be on a Saturday, which is weird. Yeah. And then they wanted to make everything closed, which is normal for a workout. And then I was reading about the contract. Right. And that, this is where it gets really fishy, where they want to protect themselves against injury, which is totally understandable. If he were to tear an ACL in a workout, you know, they don't want to be liable for that, no problem. But they wanted to have this clause that would have basically prevented Colin from suing for anything work-related in the future. And, you know, that may be a standard clause for a standard human being, but Colin Kaepernick is not a standard person in this situation. Right. So I totally understand Kaepernick wanting to be transparent and film everything and then not sign a contract. If the NFL did collude, he should still have that right to do it. So, you know, the right idea was there. Let's give him an opportunity. It was just incredibly poorly handled. And I'm going to point the blame at the NFL because, you know, they are – the mega billion-dollar industry that had a chance to try to right a previous wrong of collusion, which wasn't proved but settled, they could have fixed it, and they did a poor job of it.
Very well said. Greg, we appreciate your time, man. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks. Always enjoy having you on the show.
Cool. Appreciate it, guys.
Greg Camarillo, former NFL wide receiver. Eric Cruz, you are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. You have won a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Night at the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. And you'll also be entered to our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with underground speakeasy experience, dinner for two at Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. When we return, ladies and gentlemen, we hand the show off to Mr. Matthew Scraby, and we have ourselves a Big Five. What's in store?
Well, Chris Ello is going to join us for the Big Five.
Oh, Christopher.
And there is a new story that Thomas just gave me that I inserted into the Big Five about whether or not you're allowed to wear a Myles Garrett jersey to the Steelers-Browns game this weekend.
Uh-oh. Well, we'll find out when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. .436, Tony Gwynn Jr. We got a full house in here now. AJ Cassaville, Thomas Andrews, Matt Scraby, because it's his Big Five that we're about to get into. Join the coach, John Katerra, this Saturday, November 30th, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. at the Sprint Store in Encinitas at 1042 North El Camino Real. If you show up, you have a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Night on December 13th during SeaWorld's Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. All right, Scraby, it's all yours. Big Five, let's go.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Although Chris may be out of sight, he certainly is not out of mind. He actually joins us here on the Big Five. We have a three-man Big Five in the works. Christopher, how are you?
You know, our sales staff does an amazing job. I don't know if you've ever actually sat down and listened to a good, solid commercial break there as I was doing on hold. But yeah. Those commercials that we put together here are tremendous. Just tremendous radio. Great stuff.
Shout out to our staff out there
that puts
together the tremendous commercials that follow.
Absolutely.
Quinn and Chris.
It's all part of the show, man.
It's all part of the show. It makes the show what it is. All right, Scraby, it's all yours, brother.
Thank you very much for that, Tony Gwynn Jr. If you have any
You're
big
welcome,
five
Matthew Scraby.
If you have any Big Five topics, find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby.
Blah 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 blah.
Hey. Hey. M-A-T-T-S-K.
I love when Thomas enters the building, by the way.
R-A-B-Y. I don't. But let's get to it. Let's get to number five.
Number five.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Because there is a showdown set for week 13 in Baltimore. The 9-2 Ravens are hosting the 10-1 San Francisco 49ers. The Ravens just got done blowing out the Rams last night, 45-6 on Monday Night Football. And the 49ers crushed the Packers 37-8 on Sunday Night Football. Well, Vegas saw the Ravens last night, and they are causing something to happen in the that hasn't happened in the last 12 years. It's the first time a 10-1 team is an underdog since the 2007 Green Bay Packers took on the 10-1 Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys ended up losing that game back in 2007. So, Tony, the current line on the game is 49ers plus 4. Do you think plus 4 for the 49ers is the right number?
Plus 4, that means...
They get 4 points.
They get 4 points.
Yeah.
They're favored. No, Ravens are favored.
Yes.
Yeah, that's about right. I think... I think this is going to be a close game. Lamar Jackson obviously is having an MVP year, but this defense is as good as any defense I've seen all season long. And I've watched 4 quarters of them play on multiple occasions. I think that's a fair assessment. I think Baltimore should be the favorites. To me, 4 sounds about right. Where's this game at?
In Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore.
At 10 a.m.
Yeah. 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's rough for West Coast teams. We've seen it. We've seen it.
49ers are built for this.
But defense does travel. We'll see. I personally think, as I told you guys off here, we're going to see a Happy Feet Garoppolo this game. It's not going to be the Garoppolo.
That's not his nickname.
We're not going to be the Garoppolo we saw this last week. Happy Feet Garoppolo.
AJ, is plus 4 for the 49ers the right number here?
Give the points. I think the Ravens, I think it should be higher.
Oh.
I'd say yeah.
Whoa.
It's in Baltimore. You got the early time zone. We've seen how Lamar's played. It's going to be a shootout anyway, so 4 points is...
Short week
what is four
for the
points?
Ravens?
Well, it might not be a shootout, I guess. 49ers,
if it's, I'm about to say,
really
if it's
good,
a shootout, I don't like the Niners' chance at all.
No, and I watched both games, and I'm very impressed with the 49ers, but the Ravens have a few things going for them right now, including it being at home and it being an earlier game. So I mean... Is 4 the right number? If Vegas says it's 4, Vegas knows more than I do.
Yeah, clearly.
But I like the Ravens as favorites, and maybe by 5, 6, 7.
All right, Chris, what do you think? Is plus 4 for the 49ers the right number?
It's a lot of points to get if you're the 49ers, being as the defense played so great the other night. I will say that. However, the 49ers really struggled in the 2 games against Arizona and a mobile quarterback in Kyler Murray, and they also struggled against Russell Wilson. So... if they struggled against those two guys, they're probably going to struggle against Lamar Jackson. I mean, he is playing at an elite, elite level right now. The spread is right. You got to remember, 3 points are given for just being the home team. And Baltimore's at home. And I think right now Baltimore's playing maybe just a touch better than San Francisco. So add a point to it, you got 4. That's not what they think the Ravens are going to win by. That's just the line that they're creating to hopefully get the betting on even on both sides. And I think this line will pretty much do that, because I think a lot of people will take the 49ers plus those points, figuring on their great defense.
Good stuff, Chris. Thank you to Beer 30.
How did that make you feel, that everybody thinks
I'm
that
just moving
is right?
Past it. Beer 30 SD, thank you for following me. Let's go to number 4.
Number 4.
That's your way of getting back. Somebody
so
else
sad.
Followed me.
Tony knows how to push my buttons today. He really does. There is a lot of pressure being put on a few NFL head coaches out there, including Detroit Lions head coach Matt Patricia. After a promising start to the season, Patricia is trying to ease the pain and essentially telling everyone they need to just trust the process. He's in his second year as head coach and is currently 3-7-1 this season. And overall as a head coach, he is 9-17-1. And I forgot to grab the clip of him talking, so Pretty much he just said trust the process is what we're going to go with that. AJ, do you think he starts next season as Lions head coach?
We don't need the clip. He's not that interesting anyway.
No, he's not. He's definitely not.
I think as of right now, probably yes, because they kind of invested in him as their guy. But I could see the season really spiraling south for the Lions, and that could change in the next couple weeks. Jeff Driscoll,
yes,
is your quarterback?
Yes.
Good luck.
Do you know that they're the only team in the NFL that's led in every single game they've played? But they're 3-7-1. That's really crazy. Chris, what do you think about that? Do you think that he starts the season as Lions head coach next season?
Well, first of all, I think it's another Belichick assistant fail, which is pretty consistent around the NFL. I mean, most guys that coach under Bill Belichick don't seem to have success as head coaches. It's because they don't have Bill Belichick with them anymore. But now I think the best thing that ever happened to Matt Patricia is that Matt Stafford got injured. So when your quarterback gets hurt and misses the final half of the season, you have a good excuse as to why you didn't win any games. But if I was a Detroit Lion fan, I'd be hoping to go in another direction because I don't think Patricia's the guy to get it done. But I think Detroit will stay with him because of the injury.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think he starts next year as the Lions head coach, Matt Patricia?
Chris brings up a really good point.
Yes.
I didn't know where he was going when he said one of your best players is hurt.
He's alluding to the fact
he gives him a built-in excuse.
Yes.
And I kind of agree with that. I think Detroit, honestly, has probably overachieved this year. They probably shouldn't even be where they are at this point. But as AJ said, this thing could spiral out of control real quick. Because I don't think Driscoll's going to cut it at the quarterback position and the NFL level. So will he be back? I say yes. Really, because Matt Stafford's going to end up probably missing some more time here.
I think they're going to shut him down. So.
That's even better for him. Yeah, that's even better.
Why play Matt Stafford if you're going to get a higher draft pick?
He is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I know that Thomas Andrews says that all the time. So let's go to number three.
Number three.
Andrew Filippone of 93.7, The Fan in Pittsburgh, joined Radio.com.
We've had Andrew on before.
Yeah, a couple times. And he's really good. He's very in tune with what's going on in Pittsburgh. And he was on the Home and Home podcast, the Radio.com podcast, with Ross Tucker. And, man, I am stinking up the joint here. I can't figure out who the other guy is. Anyway.
Thomas, go ahead and snag that for a clip.
Yes.
That might work later.
Go ahead and play it again one more time for me.
Blobbity blah, blah, blah.
All right.
And I just gave you a sound clip as well. Great. But they're saying because the Browns and the Steelers are set to match up this weekend at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, that Andrew Filippone said, quote, "It's going to be like the Roman Coliseum. I had a Heinz Field employee tell me that he doesn't think he's going to let Myles Garrett jerseys into the stadium and that there's already been a conversation among some of the security staff and people at the gates of the stadium who are on watch for anything they think is going to create a disturbance inside the stadium." So they're thinking that jerseys may do that. And they're also, they moved up the game to 1 p.m. Eastern time, because they didn't want people to have more time in the morning to drink and all that stuff. The game used to be at 4:15 Eastern time, so they would have more time in the day to do this. So, Tony, you're up first. Do you think this is ridiculous?
So, let me get this straight. This random security guards are already coming up with their own little...
The way the quote looks and the things that I've read, it does seem like they're just doing this on their own.
Okay, that is a problem in itself, that... There's no cohesive, word coming down from ownership. That's where any of this stuff should start. It should start there. If you have certain security guards who are doing certain things and then across the other side of the stadium, the other security guards aren't, guess what's going to happen?
Bad things.
Bad things are going to happen.
Yes.
So I would suggest that everybody get on the same page as far as how they're going to handle this the Cleveland fan base that's going to be coming to this game. When you first mentioned this story to me, I thought this was in retaliation to Cleveland allowing the pinata out there.
They also, Cleveland Browns fans were also sporting last week shirts saying Pittsburgh started it and free Garrett.
So listen, I think you're going to have a hard time patrolling people who paid money to buy tickets that are just simply wearing a jersey. And you're not going to let him in. That could be a problem in itself.
Chris?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I went to the L.A. Coliseum once, too, when the Raiders played there. And Lori is a big Denver Bronco fan from Denver, and she wanted to wear a Denver or jersey. And I wouldn't let her.
Good.
And I'll be honest with you, that was really turned out to be a smart move.
Yeah.
Some of these football fans just are out of their minds. But do I think you can absolutely tell somebody, no, you cannot wear a brown jersey with number 95 on it? We're not going to let you into the stadium with that? I don't know how you can make that kind of statement. So, I mean, to me, just security is going to have to be on high alert. Obviously, try to keep weapons out of people's hands. I don't mind people wearing a Miles jersey, Garrett jersey in, but don't let them wear a Pittsburgh Steelers helmet into the game.
Right.
I think that's going to be the key.
No helmets thing. Of any kind.
Good
yeah,
point.
That's going to be the key.
AJ, what do you think? Is this ridiculous?
I don't know where we are as a society that we can't allow people to just wear it. I mean, I wouldn't wear a Miles Garrett jersey into the stadium, but if someone wants to do that, they are well within their rights to do so. There's nothing profane about doing so. There's if a Pittsburgh Steelers fan gets incited because there's a guy wearing a Miles Garrett jersey, that should be on him, and it should be on the stadium's responsibility to make sure that nothing happens. I don't think we should be policing what people can and can't wear when there's nothing wrong with the jerseys that we're wearing. It's a little ridiculous, and I understand the sentiment that you don't want someone, that you don't want a loved one wearing a jersey into a hostile environment, but that's a little sad to me and a little ridiculous. I think as opposing fans, I don't want to be all peace and love here, but maybe we should be a little more welcoming. We're all here enjoying a football game, right?
I'm just saying, like,
Kumbaya.
That's one of the things that when opposing fans come in, what they're usually wearing their team's uniform or something presents. It could be just, you've seen the Padres shirts, t-shirts with the
jerseys.
The jerseys. It could be a jersey. You gotta make them take his jersey off. I just think it's when you have people individually making up their own game plan of how they intend to secure the area that they're guarding, but everybody else isn't on that same page. It just opens up a thing where it could cause some more chaos.
This is going to be interesting, but I have a feeling it's going to be much ado about nothing.
Big game, too.
Maybe. Probably.
It is a big game.
Number two.
Steelers need to win it to stay in it, and the Browns need to win it to save their season. So
stay in it. You could have said the same thing there, too.
Well, I was trying to change it up, you know? I'm a man of many words.
Clearly.
I haven't... Chris.
Blah, 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 blah. You set
yourself up for that. AJ, Chris, AJ said vociferous earlier, so we have another word for the show right there.
That's good. Did he have to explain what it meant to you, or were you all right?
I did bring it up later and asking what the heck
I don't even remember the context I used it in.
I don't either, but I just heard the word and I made a mental note. But Russian athletes, they're going to have a chance to compete at next year's Olympics, but their flag would not fly in Tokyo if the World Anti-Doping Agency approves a recommendation it received yesterday. They call it the WADA, and the Compliance Review Committee proposed a four-year ban on Russia hosting major events, but stopped short of asking for a blanket ban on Russian athletes, because last year they were supposed to hand over some data about their violations, and Russia ended up fixing all they pretty much made up their data, and they fibbed on a lot of the things, and there was some cover-ups, and all this stuff came out. And if you remember in Pyeongchang, when they did the Winter Olympics, the Russian athletes were the Olympic athletes of Russia, which so any medal that they won would not go towards Russia's count and all that stuff. So, Chris, you're up first. Do you think any Russian athletes should be banned from the Olympics?
Oh, I don't know if about every single one of them, but I mean, obviously, if they're not complying, I mean, you know, I'm not a do-gooder here, but in my mind, if you're cheating, yeah, I don't want you in the Olympics. It's unfortunate to me that the Olympics, almost every single 2 years now, turns into a political affair, and that's a shame because that's not what it was intended for. The Olympics was supposed to be the last place where you had non-professional athletes competing. That went out the window 30 years ago, and it's just been more of a mess ever since. So, I mean, when you're going to say, would I not let any Russian athletes compete? I'm sure there's some Russian athletes who are trying to do it right, but obviously if you're not complying by the standards that are set, then, yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to compete. Simple as that.
AJ, what do you think? Do you think Russian athletes should be banned from the Olympics?
No, and I think they might have gotten it right with this, and I don't know that the IOC gets it right with much, and they, maybe they didn't get it right with this. We'll have to wait and see. But I know when the Russian hockey team won the gold medal in the last Olympics, it was a big deal for them. And you know what? All those players still got to celebrate their gold medals and still got to celebrate winning. But they did so wearing those kind of gray nothing jerseys because they weren't
Russia.
The Olympic athletes of Russia, which is almost a way of like rewarding the guy's individual achievements, presuming hopefully that they weren't part of the that they weren't involved in the doping. But you reward those guys' achievement while still kind of punishing the Federation for what it did wrong in the first place. So I thought that was okay, and looking back on it, might have been the best way to handle that. And if it's the same thing in 2020, it's the same thing in 2020.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think Russian athletes should be banned from the Olympics?
I kind of fall somewhere in between where AJ and Chris fall. I don't think all of them should be banned because I don't believe that all of them were intentionally out there trying to cheat. But ultimately, it's pretty simple. If everybody's going by a certain set of rules, we kind of want everybody else to follow those set of rules. If you can't comply, there are repercussions for it. And I think, as AJ said, I think they might have got it right on this particular one. Not allowing the colors of Russia to be prominent as some of those athletes won, I think that's a good thing. Hopefully, they could stay on top of this. And it sounds like more technology we get, the easier it is going to be to detect some of this stuff.
And then the easier it'll be to get away from it.
It's a never ending cycle. So hopefully, this is a step in the right direction, though.
Number one.
We talked about the ESPN story last week that painted a not-so-good picture for the new football stadium in L.A. and how the Chargers can't sell season tickets. And Rams owner Stan Kroenke is staring down a $6 billion price tag on the stadium. The shared stadium between the Rams and Chargers is supposed to open next season, but they are a long way off. In fact, when I was driving home last night during Monday Night Football, legendary announcer Kevin Harlan had some concerns, and here he was on the Monday Night Football broadcast.
The Rams are scheduled to move to the new stadium next year. I flew over it last night. There's got to be a lot of construction going on there because they don't look close. Here's the kickoff by the Ravens.
So he just slipped that in there. I'm sure the NFL loved he said that. But as always, you can hear the NFL on 97.3 The Fan. So we are going to go with Tony first. AJ first, sorry. Thomas just gave me the look. If you had to describe the L.A. stadium situation with one word, what would that word be?
Well, having not been there, I don't know if I can say this definitively, but I would say it's probably fine. I mean, they'll get their act together. I mean, this is a huge endeavor for both sides. And like, it's not fine in the sense that they could be heading to Los Angeles next year with two teams that aren't very good. The Rams might be in some trouble with what's going on in the cap, and the Chargers aren't good. And I think a lot of people in San Diego, myself included, wouldn't mind seeing some bad teams playing football in L.A. after what happened in St. Louis and what happened down here. That being said, I don't foresee issues with the stadium just because there's so much at stake.
I like that word, fine. Tony?
I'm going to say fine, too. It's construction we're talking about.
Stealing my words.
I mean, it's seriously. It's construction. They always look behind until they're under the needle, and then everything picks up. I will say, let's be honest, people in San Diego don't care that the Rams moved out of St. Louis. They are in their feelings about San Diego Chargers moving to Los Angeles, and rightfully so. That's all I have.
Chris, one word?
Chaotic.
Oh, good word. Good word. Is it vociferous?
Thank you.
Too?
I'm not going to steal their words. What's that?
Said maybe vociferous as well?
No. Okay. No, that doesn't apply here, Scraby. Learn the definition of that
Sorry
word,
that.
Will you, please?
Thank you for joining us, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Have your answer handy by the time I get back tomorrow.
Boom. What's my answer? What?
Answer to the definition of vociferous.
Oh, yes, I'll definitely have that.
I think it describes Stephen A. Smith. That's how
vocal.
All right, we got to run. Chris,
thanks, AJ.
Hi, Chris.
All right, thanks, AJ.
The Aztecs basketball team has done something to start their season they haven't done since Kawhi Leonard played on the Mesa. We'll explain next. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.